Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. Excuse me, right off the bat. It's Saturday morning, so we are talking about our series, Developing Goals in the Supernatural Realm. And last week we talked about being specific and writing down three areas where we are in a crisis situation or that the Lord has brought here to the surface. Now, some had some challenges with that, and so we're going to review that a little bit. But first, I also got some really good questions on some of the things we've been talking about in regards to the chart on Monday nights. On Monday nights, we're talking about practical Christianity, and we have been looking at the three realms of reality and starting to step back and clarify our terms when we're talking about the spiritual, the supernatural, and the natural. Now, if you haven't had a chance already, I would encourage you to print out a copy of the chart that's available on the profile page of this program. And it's the first link under links, and it's a PDF file, so you can save it to your desktop or just print it out, however you want to do it. But I do encourage you to print it out because I think it's helpful to write your own questions or your own thoughts or your own additions or comments. And because it's not important that you agree with me about the distinction, but that you can start to develop your own approach to reality, not only as you understand it, but this is a starting point for God to reveal reality as he sees it. And that's really what we're kind of looking for, is what is his concept of reality? So one of the questions that has come up is the whole concept of our conscience. What is our conscience and where is it and how does that fit into the chart and how does it work? Well, first, when we look at where that whole concept came from, it doesn't really fit into a sound evaluation. It's sort of, to me, along the same lines as heart. You know, our heart. We know we're not talking about the blood pumping organ in our chest when we talk about heart. And often we refer to our heart as our knowing or feeling, or the center of how we make our decisions. So, which is one of the reasons we try to back away from using religious jargon, even when they're common, because nobody ever stops to really define, okay, this is what the heart is. We may talk about it, and there are tons of scriptures about the heart, but they don't clarify within our understanding. They don't make the heart concept real. And if we're going to start using what's going on in the heart as a way to evaluate how we're doing, or using that as a motivation, we need to be much more clear about it. Likewise with the whole term, with the term conscience. We most often use that in terms of having a guilty conscience and wanting to have a clear conscience. And we use it most often in terms of having a clear conscience before God, wanting to be able to say that we know we're in good standing because we don't feel guilty, and that we have this sense that guilt and innocence are determined by what we feel is going on in our conscience. Now, from my perspective, the way I have myself, at least temporarily, situated the conscience, that whole guilt or innocence, good and evil judge, the scales, if you will, that weighs out the good and evil, that to me is in the soul. And it may be, again, because we can't, nail down, okay, this is how big the soul is, this is how, how it works in all circumstances. I like to think of the conscience in terms of where it is like the umbilical cord between the soul and the spirit. It's one of the many places where the spirit and soul come into contact and life is relayed from God, from our spirit, into our soul. And the reason I put it there is because there's the two kinds of people alive here on this earth, those with a spirit that is living and eternal, and those that have that are dead in their spirit and do not have access to that life of God. Both categories of people seem to have some sense of conscience. Both seem to have some sense of good and evil and right and wrong. And this is where we would also develop a cultural morality. Now, many may deny that concept of good and evil, but in order to deny it, you have to acknowledge its existence. If you don't believe something exists, it's hard to say, well, it doesn't exist. You have to have that concept to begin with. It's like when we say, okay, aliens don't exist, aliens from outer space. But just the whole concept that, okay, there's something that, little green men from Mars don't exist. Okay, well, to begin with, you have to have a concept that there are of little green men on Mars. So innate within, I believe, everyone, there is the concept of good and evil. How it's treated will often depend on our culture, our temperament, our history, our approach to life, our genetics, how we grew up, what our convenience very often, our flesh, what makes us feel good. And remembering that so much of our goal of our soul is control, to maintain and develop control over our good and evil and judge ourselves as good and evil makes us feel out of control, because we know that within ourselves we can't change ourselves from evil to good. So what's the best way to deal with that? Well, we'll just deny it exists. So there may be those who have that sense of justice, shall we say, good and evil, right and wrong. But rather than deal with it, let's just deny it. And in that denial is always the intrinsic recognition of its existence. So that's where I put the conscience. And our conscience then becomes one of the ways that our soul makes sense of reality. The soul makes sense of right and wrong, of justice, regardless of whether it's a spirit, in the, your soul, that soul is in a spirit being or a dead spirit being. So that's one of the reasons I put that conscience in the soul. It's definitely not part of the body. It's not a physical, there's no genetics involved in the soul. That's not something included in the DNA. So our conscience then, when we are a dead spirit being, we are wrestling with relying on it to provide us information so we can alter our behavior. And again, we want to feel good. We want to feel like we're doing good. Or we, if we don't go that way, we may go the opposite way and deny the existence of our conscience. And very often our conscience will be overwhelmed by one of the strengths of our temperaments. In other words, it doesn't matter, you know, something is good based on whether it feels good. Or something is good or evil based on whether it works. Or something is good or evil based on if it sounds right, if it makes sense. Now, if you're dead set on totally not wanting to go with the concept of evil at all, you also have to deny the good. So what happens is then that's where you develop relativism, that everything, that there in any given situation, there's no such thing as good or evil. It's in that particular situation what is best in that situation. So you come up with situational ethics, temporary standards, no intrinsic long-term ideals. So, but that anyone who has a soul, I do believe, also has a conscience. Now, once we become a spirit being, that conscience is one of the places that the soul and the spirit meet. And by virtue of being a recipient of the life of God in our soul, where the conscience connects with the spirit, that whole concept of good and evil is overwhelmed by truth, by reality, by God. God, again, created good and evil. Okay? Good and evil are the opposites. Evil is not the opposite of God. Okay? And good is not a quality of God. Good is something God created. That's why a lot of times we struggle with the whole notion of why do bad things happen to God's people. And we look at some of the stories in the Bible where God commanded his people to wipe out other people and kill all the women and children and all the animals and to completely wipe them off the face of the earth. And we go, that's not a good God. And what we are trying to do is use our conscience, our evaluation of good and evil, our sense of how things work according to our soulical realm, the supernatural realm, we're trying to judge and evaluate the spiritual realm. Just as God created time, he created good and evil, he created our soul and this earth and past, present, and future. When we try to evaluate the spirit realm using our information, our limited information, we will always draw the wrong conclusions. That doesn't mean we're not to think about those things and ask God about those things at all. It's just that we are to not assume that that the conclusions we draw are going to be accurate. As far as the conscience is concerned, what we want to make sure that we don't do is assume that the evaluation that comes out from our conscience judgment is accurate. How many of us, after experiencing experiencing a salvation experience, at some point felt guilty. And very often we'll feel like it didn't take. You know, maybe we need to go to the cross again. You know, or we feel like we're in danger, or that we need to maintain a certain relationship with God in order to receive His blessings. Or things don't make sense unless, you know, we feel or think or things are turning out right. These are all evaluations of our conscience, good and evil. This is one of the problems we have with the distinction between sinning and making a mistake. If we fail to be perfect, we've decided that that's a sin. If we fail to walk circumspectly before the Lord, whatever that means, perfectly, then that's a sin because it's coming short of His standards. Well, that's a function of your conscience evaluating without God how you're doing. Is it falling on the good side of the scale, or is it falling on the evil side of the scale? And as far as your conscience is concerned, those are the only two options when left to its own devices. So this is why we need to clarify, and it's a good question, that the conscience is not reliable. Our heart is not reliable. Our mind is not reliable. Our will is not reliable. Our emotions are not reliable. Only our spirit is reliable in being able to judge how we're doing. And I can tell you, when you go to your spirit, when you ask God how you're doing through your spirit, I can tell you what He will always say. He will always say, you're doing perfectly. You are perfect. Because in your spirit, it's absolutely true. You could not be doing any better. You could not be any better. Because you are already perfect and complete and entire in Him as a spirit being. So the rest of it is just the process. It's like that illustration of when Jesus said, you know, don't worry about cleaning out the outside of the pot. Make sure the inside is clean. And then when the outside gets dirty, just brush off the dirt. We're in the process now of just brushing off the dirt. Okay, the inside is clean and it's filled. That spirit within us, it's a done deal, it's a completed work. So now, one of the tasks we are doing is we don't want to get distracted by our conscience, but recognize that judgment is an area that the Lord is bringing under submission unto Him, merely as, and we we'll eventually get into discussing it in the proper context. It is a function of your soul. It is one of your soulical senses, judging good and evil, just as your heart is. And in many ways, we can use those interchangeably. It's all about the good and evil. It's all about eating of the tree. So hopefully that addresses some of those concerns. If you've got more specific concerns, but basically, again, our conscience is in our soul. It's, I believe, one of the places where our soul and our spirit connect, and it's there whether we are a spirit being or not, so everyone has a sense. Now, one of the other things that comes up with this is that to try to convince someone of right and wrong is not going to be dependent on your evaluation of where they are, but on what God is convicting them of. In other words, the state of their conscience is not going to be the determination about whether they want to know God or not. Their desire to know God will be strictly between them and God. So when we try to show someone this is where they're whether it's a Christian or a non-Christian, this is where you're missing it. You know, you're lying here. You know, when we try to judge others and show them where they're doing wrong and then expect them to have the same reaction to what their perceived activity that we do, we are thinking their conscience is operating the same way ours is. And that's very rarely the case. Because we all have our own idea of good and evil. Which is basically why God had to change out the standards altogether. Because it's not about good and evil. Again, God created good and evil. He is both. He created the day of good and the day of evil for his purposes. Evil is not the opposite of God, just as good is not the sum totality of his characteristics. Both are his creations. So we can step back from judging others. And this is where we've been talking about as we are moving forward in learning how to be healed and learning how to deal with the crises in our lives and setting goals. It's one thing for us to decide, this is where I want to focus on, this is what I want to deal with. But we're instead, you know, coming up with lists and then asking God, what do you want to deal with? Well, think about trusting that God is doing the same in others. That as whatever it is they're going through, God is dealing with what's most important to him. Not what may be the most obvious or the most important to others. Just as an example, say there's somebody that you know, as a Christian, and has a really bad habit, like does drugs or smokes or, you know, is, you know, violent towards their dog. Now, obviously, when there's something against the law, your obligation has nothing to do with your conscience. Okay? The law in the natural realm is very clear and specific and is to be followed in the natural. So that doesn't, for instance, you see your neighbor, you know, doing something illegal. You report them. Okay, that's your responsibility as these are all natural boundaries. This is not about your conscience telling you what is right and wrong. The law, because this is not the supernatural realm, but the natural realm, the law is telling you this is wrong, and your duty is to report them to the proper authorities. So this has nothing to do with your conscience or not. Now, if you steal something, okay, sometimes people wonder, how can people steal things and not feel any sense of remorse or not feel bad or anything? It's because they have rationalized it and now have absolutely no problem keeping it disconnected from their conscience. There are, people whose whole culture and livelihood centers around going from area to area and basically bilking people out of money. their whole culture revolves around that. And their perception is, if you're stupid enough to fall for them, for their hijinks, they, you know, they have a perfect right to take your money. Now, the law says something different, but their conscience may be clean. So that's why we, in the natural realm, we deal with what's going on in the natural law, what's right and wrong according to the natural law. It doesn't matter whether their consciences are bothering them in the least. There are also those who don't have any empathy and can't comprehend what other people are going through. There was that case a few years ago about the man who had kidnapped a young girl and kept her locked up in a, and in fact it had done to a series of girls, kept them locked up in a cellar and would feed them and, you know, abuse them. But he thought, because if they wanted TV, he'd give them TV. If they wanted steak, he'd give them steak. He would give them whatever they wanted, except their freedom. And he felt like he was doing everything right. He was getting what he wanted, and he thought he was giving them what they wanted, because every time they asked for something, he'd give it to them. So his conscience never bothered him. I mean, even to this day, it probably, he just does not see that he did anything wrong. But that's not keeping him from being in prison. So we don't want to get bogged down in our conscience being a good evaluator. Our conscience will not ever serve as a way of evaluating the situation. Our conscience will also, or our heart, will also not be able to judge whether we're hearing from God or not. Our conscience can be easily manipulated because it's part of our soul. It can be used as a tool of our soul to get its needs met. Just like that one example. The guy had needs he wanted to have met, and he was able to massage his conscience to the point where, because he felt good about what he was doing, because he was making them happy. And it got to the point where he couldn't understand why they complained. He couldn't understand why they would complain about, you know, being chained to the bed. His response was, well, girls wear ankle bracelets all the time. Now, that's his conscience having accommodated his flesh. And we all do that in some respects. And it is one of the areas over time God shows us, not as a function of doing good and evil. Okay? This is an area you're doing evil and now you need to do good in order to please me. That's not what he does. Instead, he deals with our conscience because it's one of the ways we find out where we are functioning in the flesh. Well, in order to answer that question, it looks like it's taken up our whole time. What I do want to leave you with is some short little homework. Last week we were talking about identifying three areas of crises, and that seemed to put a little bit extra pressure out there, so we want to back off and instead just write down 10. Don't worry about which prioritizing them at all. Just write down 10 things that are pressures and stresses in your life. And don't worry about yet asking God which one he wants to deal with. We'll deal with that next week. So thanks for tuning in. Do your homework. And we'll get back together again next week to continue on this. And then on Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, we have our regular series. Thanks for tuning in today. Have a great weekend. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.